Well, let's pray. Father, we just ask you that you would speak to our hearts tonight through your word. I pray, Father, that you help me to say just what you would want me to, Lord, that I wouldn't say anything that's not from you. And Father, that I'd just be sensitive to your spirit. And Lord, I pray for hearing ears tonight, Lord, that we might receive and obey the living word of God. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we'll just start with a little fun. A group of high school students were headed for college or given a quiz about the Bible. One said the New Testament was written by Matthew, Mark, Luther, and John. Yeah. Another one said Eve was created from an apple. Another one said Noah's wife was Joan of Arc. Another one said the fifth commandment is humor thy father and mother. And another said that the seventh commandment is thou shalt not admit adultery, right? Yeah, that's really bad, but listen, this is even worse to me. George Barna conducted a survey of Christians, and he found that 48% could not name the four Gospels. Oh, by the way, this is a survey of Christians, not atheists, Christians. And 60% could not name five of the Ten Commandments. Now, I know some of you are counting right now to see how many you can get, and you got six, and so you're feeling good about yourself. But it's just amazing how the level of Bible knowledge in our country has declined in the last 50 years. Where 50 years ago, when we had something called Sunday school, and I know some of you are, you know, you're wanting to pound that drum right now, but I'm just telling you though, you know, we used to talk about studying the Bible. We you know, that's just not cool in this culture. We're not going to talk about studying Sunday school. Those words are all imply work and effort. Let's just leave those things out. But I'm just telling you, it's really strange how in our day, in our time, I say this a lot, but I'm telling you, you need to understand this about our culture. It's very religious. Very, very religious. People talk about the Lord. People kind of sort of quote the Bible. Always some way or another. Now, they'll say, oh, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Or, you know, I'm not religious, I just love the Lord. That sounds really good. But I'm just telling you, in this culture, that it is a very religious society, and yet the amount of Bible knowledge in our culture has gone down so much. How has it lost its value in our generation? Not just among unbelievers, but among Christians. It's no longer a treasured possession like it once was, at least to most people. I know some of you it still is, but I'm just saying, church, we need to value it as the Scripture says. Psalms 119, verse 72 says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. And you know, there's many other verses that say the same thing, that it's better than gold. And we need to treasure it that way, where the Word of God, you know, it's not this leather and paper and ink. It's what it says, that we treasure the Word of God and value it above anything else in this world. Psalms 19, 7 through 10, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's a good start. I like that. The law of the Lord is perfect. People want to talk about the flaws in the Word or how it contradicts itself. Listen, if you think that you found a flaw in the Word or a contradiction, it is only because of your own lack of understanding or depth in studying the Scriptures. Because there are no flaws. It's perfect. And when you think that you found an apparent contradiction, you just need to keep studying. I mean, when you read in Galatians and he says, bear one another's burdens. And two verses later, he says each man ought to bear his own burden. And you think, well, there's a contradiction, two verses apart. I mean, that Apostle Paul guy, he must have been pretty confused. No, you just need to understand what he's talking about and do a little deeper studying, because there's a difference in helping people with burdens, with problems and weight in their life, and people not taking care of their responsibilities. But I'm just giving you an example how a lot of times people think they found a flaw in God's word, and it's just not there. I'm telling you, the more you study and the more you know, the more you find out that it's true, every bit of it, that just what the psalmist says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Not much in this world that's sure, but God's word is, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. A lot of people think the Word of God is out of date, but it declares that it will stand forever. People think it's just an old dead book, but it's alive. They think it's just words, but it's powerful. They say it's irrelevant, but somehow or another, what Hebrews 4:12 says, it's still true. It judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Such a powerful book, because even though it was written thousands of years ago, yet today, somehow, these words cut right to the heart. It's amazing. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture. Sometimes when I'm reading the genealogies, it's hard for me to understand that, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All of it is inspired by God. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. That means that it's authoritative. That means that it's infallible, that there's no mistakes in it. It carries God's authority. God backs it up. It is without error or flaw. Now, I know I'm saying some things you already know, and some of you that know these things, you need to be saying amen, because y'all need to be agreeing, because there's some people that are, you know, they're teetering here. They're struggling. They're just not really sure about all that. But I'm telling you, church, we need to be sure. We need to know that we know that God's word is a sure thing, that it's without flaw in any way. The inspired word of God. You know, if this book is not true, if it's not inspired, if it's not infallible, then we really don't have anything. It's just, if this book is not every bit true, then it's just all make-believe, and we just all make up our own faith. Isn't that what our culture is telling us today? Just make it up as you go? It's what a lot of people are doing, even with Christianity. What I mean by that is they think themselves to be Christian, but they're making it up as they go. They don't really even know what the Bible says. Just kind of a conglomeration of what they've heard some preachers on TV talk about, things that they kind of learned growing up, maybe some things they heard at school a teacher said, maybe something that Oprah said, or they saw on some TV show, and somehow from all of this they've come up with a system of beliefs. Now, they don't call it that, but that's what it is. I'm telling you, church, we need to hold to the Word of God. We need to go back to this over and over and over again and ask ourselves, what does the Bible say? We need to be students of the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The King James, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. But you know, that certainly is for the pastor, for the preacher. But really, truly, it's for all of us. I mean, every one of us is supposed to be used of God. Every one of us is supposed to be a worker in the kingdom. And he says, be diligent so that you can be approved before God. A worker who rightly divides the word of truth. Now, I always say this. Listen, if you just got born again and you don't know a single verse of Scripture and all you have is a testimony of how God saved your soul, listen, you can be used of God to witness and help somebody else along their way. So don't ever get this mentality that, well, you got to go to seminary in order to be able to minister to somebody. That's not right. But neither is it right that we should be slothful and lazy in the things of God and lazy workers. We should be diligent. And how do you do that? He says to study, be diligent in the word so you rightly divide the word of truth. So I'm challenging you tonight. Listen, if you are more than just a baby carnal Christian, you need to be studying the word of God for yourself. And I know that's, you know, those study is a four-letter word to a lot of people. It's just, we don't like that. Let's turn the TV on and let's let some preacher talk. Maybe, you know, maybe that's just the only word we're going to get. But I'm telling you, you need to get into the Scriptures for yourself. We've been talking on Sundays about rewiring and how important it is to meditate the Word of God. I'm just telling you, you got to get it down inside of you. But you know, it's that attitude in our culture that it's kind of whatever you think, you know. When it comes to spiritual things, it's just kind of whatever you think. You know, for each person, well, whatever you think. And I'm telling you, it's that very attitude that opens the door for error in people's life. And when it does, it opens the door for destruction, for all kinds of problems in their life. Matthew 22 and 29, Jesus says to the Sadducees, he says, you do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Now, the New King James, he says a little nicer, it's you're mistaken. I kind of like the King James there. He says, ye do err. You're heading the wrong way. You're making a mistake. And you don't know the Scriptures nor the power of God. And you know what? Those guys thought they knew the Scriptures. And there's a lot of people today who think they know the Bible. And let me just get at this. A lot of people know certain verses. In fact, this is where you get so much error in doctrine, is people know certain verses that support their doctrine. But they don't read whole chapters, they don't read whole books of the Bible, and they certainly don't read the whole Bible when it comes to doctrinal issues or questions. They read their certain verses that prop up their doctrine, even though they can't make it work with other verses of Scripture. You got to always interpret Scripture in the light of the rest of Scripture. You can never pull one verse out and make it stand all by itself. If your interpretation of that Scripture doesn't line up with the rest of the Bible, then there's something wrong with your interpretation, because God doesn't contradict Himself. But I'm just telling you, we need to get back to the place where the Bible is our standard, and we focus on this. What does the Bible say? Not what do you think, or what did Brother so-and-so say? We only got one real spiritual leader that we look to when this is all said and done. I'm not saying we don't learn from pastors and teachers and prophets, but I'm saying Jesus is the final authority. And we can't look at some man as a spiritual guru and say, well, whatever he says, that's what I believe. And we got a lot of people doing that right now. Listen, we don't have any super apostles, no superstars in the kingdom. But whatever Brother so-and-so says, that's what I believe. I believe what Jesus says. And so far, I hadn't found a single man or woman, including myself, that always gets it right. So I want to challenge you to study the Word of God. If you'll stay in the Word, you'll become a real disciple. Real as opposed to what? Pretend. Jesus said, John 8:31-32, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In the NIV, it's if you hold to my teaching. King James, it's if you continue in my word. See, if you stay in the word, he says, then you really are my disciples. Then you're my disciples indeed. So you want to be a real disciple? You got to stay in the word. What makes you a real disciple? Well, listen, you got to follow Jesus. You got to be totally committed, nothing held back. But Jesus makes it real plain and clear here that you got to hold to his teaching. You got to stay in his word if you're going to be a real disciple. And then there's something that happens. He says, you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And you know what? See, the more that we know the truth, the more that we stay in the Word and we live this Word out, the more we walk in real freedom in our life, the more we experience the abundant life that Jesus said we could have, that he promised us. But if we don't stay in the Word, if we're not real disciples, if we're just kind of, I'm talking relatively speaking in our country today, normal Christians. I'm telling you that there are going to be areas in our life where we're bound. Areas in our life where we're just missing it because we don't really know the truth because we're not staying in the Word. See, if you don't know what the Bible says about healing, it's real easy to get bound in that area. In fact, the truth is that most believers are very unsure about what the Bible says about healing. They go by what they've heard instead of what the Bible says. Let me tell you, you need to ask yourself, what does the Bible say? Not just one or two verses, but search the Scriptures and find out what the Bible says about healing. It is absolutely amazing. I'm telling you, it will build your faith. It will cause you to believe. But all of the religion, all of this talk in our world, I'm telling you, it will drag you down. It will undermine and destroy your faith. It'll keep you from believing God for anything. And I'm not talking about atheists. I'm talking about other Christians. You got to go back to what the Bible says. I want to use the reasoning of man. Well, I know this person, and they got sick, and they prayed, and they died. Listen, the Lord impressed it on my wife very clearly that when she was believing God for healing from cancer, she could not go by somebody else's experience. She had to go by what the Bible said. But I'm just telling you, in this world, you hear all these reasonings and all these arguments, and they'll even pull scriptures and make up scriptures to fit their argument. But I'm telling you, you go by what the Bible says, it'll set you free. It'll bring victory in your life. You got to stick with the Scripture. See, if you don't know what the Bible says about money, you can find yourself in all kinds of bondage to debt. You can find yourself bound by greed, poverty. You can fall off in either side of this ditch. I'm just telling you that, listen, you know, the Bible teaches prosperity. Joshua 1:8, it says that if you speak in line with the word, and you meditate in it day and night, and you observe to do according to all that's written therein, then you will make your way prosperous and successful. And so many scriptures talk about the blessing of the Lord and abundance. So there are people who teach against prosperity and teach against God blessing his people materially. Crazy. I'm like, have you read the Bible? And then there are also people who go to such an extreme with prosperity that they make a gospel out of it, that it's like, that it becomes like a god. It's all about the money. I'm telling you, you got to stick with what the Bible says. Not just a verse, the whole thing. You got to read those scriptures that talk about the Lord opening the windows of heaven and pouring you out a blessing that you can't contain. You also got to read those scriptures where he says, "Woe to you rich who hold back the wages." Amen. You got to read them all. You need, see, you're thinking, well, that sounds like a lot of work. I didn't sign up for that. Listen, this isn't some little play game Christianity. This is real life. We need to get in this, church. We need to know what the Bible says. I'm just telling you, as a pastor, I try to be gracious about this. And I don't know everything. I want to tell you that right up front. There's a lot of things I don't know. I'm learning. And I learn from people a lot. But a lot of times I hear people talking about the goofiest doctrines and teaching and stuff they heard somewhere. People get off on the craziest rabbit trails and just weird stuff. All because they're not reading the Bible for themselves. 90% of the time they got it from somewhere else. Now some people manage to make up their own goofy stuff. But I'm just telling you, 90% of the time they got it from somewhere else. And we need to stick with the Bible. Jesus told his disciples, that those Jews that believed on him, he says, "The truth will make you free." And you know what those Jews said in response to that? They said, "We've never been in bondage to anyone." Now, first of all, they were lying through their teeth because at the time they're under Roman rule. And everybody knows that they were in slavery and bondage to Egypt for 400 years. But they're saying, "We've never been in bondage to anyone." They didn't realize he's talking to them that they were bound by religion. I'm telling you, the same is true today. So many people are bound by some teaching that they have learned in the past or something. They've always been taught this, or this is the way they grew up. And I'm just telling you, not everything you heard, not everything you were brought up believing is necessarily right. Some people just can't learn and grow and get free because they won't let go of some religious thing they learned years ago. You can be bound in your finances. You can be bound in your marriage. You can be bound by fear and unbelief, by guilt and condemnation, by sinful desires, by the traditions of men, by the philosophies and attitudes of the current generation. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of things that can bind you up. The Word of God is what will set you free. So don't listen to the traditions of men or build your life on the philosophy of man, because I'm telling you, when a storm comes, it'll come crashing down. And then they say, "Well, I don't understand why God let this happen to me. I'm a Christian and I'm serving God." You need to know what the Bible says. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." I like to ask this question sometimes. What if that's true? My favorite one is Jesus saying, "According to your faith." What if it really is according to your faith? I mean, we read this stuff. Do we really believe this stuff or not? See, the scripture says that God says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." We need to know what the Bible says. You know, there's that old thing where ignorance is bliss. It's a lie. When it comes to the things of God, when it comes to spiritual things, ignorance can get you killed. It can mess you up. You need to know. If you're sitting there thinking right now, "Well, I don't know very much," this word is for you. And if you think you got it all figured out, I'm telling you, this word is for you too. 1 Corinthians 8:2 says, "If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know." 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." See, we're all still learning. But pride can cause you to fall into deception when you think that you know everything. You need to always be learning, always be meek and teachable. You know, we all know that scripture, pride goes before a fall, right? Oh, some of you are thinking hard now because it doesn't really say that, does it? No, it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I've told you, it's really a teaching tool. He's saying the same thing twice. He's just saying it two different ways. But it's funny how we quote it wrong. But sometimes it does make a difference when we quote it wrong. Sometimes it gets us in error. We need to be careful that we quote the scripture right. You know what the Bible says. And I know if you read one translation or another that it says this or it says that, it changes the meaning depending on what translation you're reading. A friend gave me this stone. It's pretty cool. It says Jesus on the back, got a cross, and it says, has those famous words, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. We all know that, right? He who is without sin cast the first stone. Do you know that's not what the scripture says? Now, whichever translation you read in, it says something to this effect. Let he who is without sin be the first. Let him first cast a stone. Now, you might say I'm splitting hairs here, but I'm just telling you the emphasis is on the man, not on the first stone. It's on the first person. Let him first cast a stone. Here's the funny thing I'm trying to get at, though. We need to really know what the Bible says instead of just kind of, sort of. See, this is this attitude in our country right now. We just kind of sort of know the Bible, and we just kind of develop this theology and how we believe in God. It all just kind of evolved. You need to evolve that from the scripture and the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you instead of going along with. You realize how much New Age and how much philosophy of the current generation is being brought into the church? Some of you are thinking, what? Wake up, church. We need to go back to what the Bible says. Here's some scriptures that aren't scriptures just for fun. You know that one, cleanliness is next to godliness? I've told you the story about how my mom tried to use that one on me, and she didn't appreciate me proving to her it wasn't in there. But anyway, there's probably a lot of things that you've thought at some time were in the Bible because you heard some preacher say it and it wasn't there, but you know, here's one of my favorites. God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the scripture. I find he helps those who can't help themselves. The Lord works in mysterious ways. He's his wonders to perform. It's not in there. Now, his ways are higher than our ways. That's in there. But see, you need to know what the Bible says, not just sort of, kind of, but really know. All men are created equal. You know, we have the right to pursuit of happiness. Listen, things in the Constitution that are the Bill of Rights, those aren't in the Bible, okay? But it's real funny how people start thinking that all this stuff's in the Bible. You need to know what the Bible says. Dig it out for yourself so that you really know what it says. Not just what Pastor Mark said or Brother so-and-so. No, you need to know for yourself. I wish that every time I preach or teach, you would go study the scriptures and see if it bears out. Now, I don't mean go back to your pet verse, you know, the three verses that prop up your little thing. I'm talking about search the scriptures and see if what I taught, what I preached was right. Because here's what happens. Either you figure out that I missed it, which that's good for you. Amen. And good for me, because you pray for me. Because I'm telling you, there isn't any of us that's got it all together. But it's also good for you if you find out that I was telling it just like it is, because when you search the scriptures and you read it for yourself, then there's no longer this fuzzy doubt somewhere that, is that just him? See, when you read it for yourself and you see it in the Word of God yourself, and the Holy Spirit makes it real to you, then, see, the enemy's going to have a really hard time getting that away from you. That's powerful. But you got to know what the Bible says yourself. You know, you can always find some verse or phrase to fit what you want. That's how so many people get deceived. I got to say something else about this. It's just kind of a sensitive issue. It's something that needs to be addressed in our day. But, you know, the scripture, nowhere is there any scripture of any kind that limits healing to the first generation church. Nowhere. There is absolutely nothing. Nothing to stand on. But here's the doctrine. Well, those miracles aren't necessary anymore to get people to believe. What? What has that got to do with it? Listen, healing was all through the Old Testament. David said, he forgives all your iniquities, he heals all your diseases. Wow. There's no scripture that says anything about it, and yet there are so many churches that teach that. So most Christians, you know, they believe, well, God heals through doctors and medicine and these kinds of things. I believe that too. I just believe God heals, period. But I still believe in miracles, that God does miracles. It's amazing. You know, a whole lot of the false doctrine of the day that's taught in churches has to do with the supernatural. No supernatural anymore. Can't have that. That's kooky and weird. I'm telling you, what does the Bible say? See, I don't like kooky and weird either. But I do like what the Scripture teaches. And we need to hold to that. Just go back to the Bible. In fact, I think you ought to question yourself and some of the things that you believe. You need to ask yourself, what does the Bible say about this? And go search it out. You know, I remember churches 25 years ago where they wouldn't allow anybody to lift their hands or clap their hands. And now 25 years later, they allow that. Amen. Encourage it. Do the kind of music we do. Now, did God change? Did the Bible change? No, but their culture changed. And I'm not saying that we don't reach our culture, but I'm just saying back then it was a religious doctrine. And isn't it funny how that the church tends to change doctrine and stuff with what's going on in the culture? We need to stick with what the Bible says. Because here's the thing. I don't care if it's popular or not. The Bible teaches, lift up your hands and bless the Lord. I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands in prayer. See, the Bible teaches, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Well, I don't, that's weird to me. We can scream and yell like crazy at a sporting event, but listen, I'm just saying, what does the Bible say? That's what we need to base our beliefs on, our doctrine on, what we stand on. How about this old one? Money's the root of all evil. No, it's not. The love of money is the root of all evil. Many years ago, I knew a man that told me very sincerely, he said, now in my old Bible, it said that God put a mark on Cain, and that mark was that he made him a black man. And I said, what? And he looked in his Bible to find that. And he said, well, see, they've changed these new Bibles. He had a King James, by the way. I don't know what his old one was, a Gutenberg or something. I don't know. But anyway, he's like, well, my old Bible. And he was real sincere. He was a good man. I'm just telling you. But he had heard somebody teach that baloney years and years ago. And so he was just sure it's in the Bible. Just kept looking for it and looking for it and looking for it. And I'm telling you, we need to know what the Bible says, and we don't believe goofy stuff that messes us up. In fact, you know, you believe something goofy like that, it doesn't just mess you up, it messes other people up that you're trying to help or minister to or witness to. You need to know what the Bible says. One guy asked, what do you believe? Another man said, I believe what my church teaches. What does your church teach? They teach what I believe. What do you and your church believe? We believe the same thing. You know what? I've met those people. They don't know why they believe this, except that this is what their church teaches, and they quote it, and they've got the certain three scriptures they quote with it, and this is what we believe. I've found that this is the cure for wrong doctrine. I'm going to say it one more time. Not pulling out certain verses. You just start reading it and just keep reading it, and it'll straighten you out. I'm telling you. The truth will set you free, but you got to stay in the Word. See, and if you hear something that's not straight from the Word, the only way you can know that it's error is if you yourself are staying in the Word. But today more than ever, church, we need to know what the Bible says. We're living in this time when so much of the philosophies of the day are being intermingled with the Christian faith, and most Christians don't even realize what's going on. We need to know what the Bible says. You know, that it's that relative morality of the day, well, that says, you know, whatever's right for you is what's right for you. Did you know that most Christians kind of think that way? They do. They think, well, you know, and I want you to understand, when it comes to matters of personal conviction, there's some truth in that when you're talking about questionable matters, personal conviction. But when it comes to the principles of God's Word, there's no room for whatever's right for you. It's absolute. I mean, how is it we've arrived at the place where Christians somehow or another think that premarital sex is okay if you're in love? What? You got to stick with what the Bible teaches. It doesn't matter what culture says. It doesn't matter how you feel about it or what you think. It's what does the Bible say? You pull one verse of Scripture to the exclusion of all others. Well, God is love. He loves us no matter what. Well, certainly. Yes, He is love. He loves you no matter what. Those two statements are true. But they use that as some kind of blanket thing over all sin and all disobedience to the Word of God. I'm just telling you, the Bible is our standard. We got to hold to. We need to stick with what does the Bible say. You get these weirdos, you know. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be ugly. But they do these weird things like, the Bible says thou shalt not kill. So I can't go to war because the Bible says thou shalt not kill. Do you realize how many times God sent His people to war, told them to go to war, told them to kill every living thing? Listen, it was God that instituted capital punishment, only it wasn't lethal injection. Here, we're going to give you a shot. It was stoning. Somehow or another, people manage to abuse the Word of God and twist it around and use it to justify themselves in all kinds of ways. Some people don't even, you know, God said, thou shalt not kill, so you shouldn't be wearing leather. Listen, it's God who made the first leather clothes for Adam and Eve. He could have made them out of cloth. He's God. He could have made polyester, whatever He wanted to. He made them out of skins. How people get this stuff, you see, they pull one verse of Scripture, one phrase, and say, oh, well. But I'm just telling you, the Bible gets misquoted and misapplied all the time. People use it to prove what they believe, but you got to know what the Bible says. Don't go to God's Word with preconceived ideas. And you've already decided everything. You need to go to God's Word with an open heart and ready to learn and receive and believe, because that's the way that you find truth and you get set free. You know, when Eve sinned, did you know she misquoted the Word of God before she sinned? And she was supposed to know. Let me just read to you that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, God didn't say that, but here's what Eve says. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, here's what God said. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. He didn't say, you shall not touch it. Now, you may say, well, but what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. She didn't really know. You realize how easy it was for Satan to talk her out of what she believed? She just kind of sort of knew. That's exactly where most believers are today. I mean, other than knowing that Jesus died for their sins, pretty much the rest of it, they just kind of sort of know. You need to absolutely know what God said so you can't be deceived. Because I'm telling you, the same one who worked against her is working against you, and he works through deception, and he'll even use the word, and he'll twist the word and change one little word to get you off track and to mess you up. She sort of knew, just like a lot of us sort of know. I heard somebody say, well, there's no rapture because the word rapture's not in the Bible. Listen, I don't care if you call it rapture, catching away, meeting in the air. What I do know is that 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 18 says the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. I know this, I'm going to meet him in the air, in the clouds. You can call it whatever you want to, but it's happening. We're not just going to kind of evolve into some heavenly kingdom here on earth. No, nope, there's something happening in the air. I'm going to that meeting. And I don't care what you call it. I'm not married to the word rapture. It's not in the Bible. Okay. The meeting in the air. I'm starting that one. You call it wherever you want to, but it's happening. See, people come up with these crazy doctrines all kinds of ways. One wealthy woman traveling overseas, she finds a bracelet that she just thought she had to have. And it was $75,000. So she telegraphs her husband about it and says, can I buy this bracelet for $75,000? Well, he telegraphs back, no, price too high. Well, the guy that took the telegraph message left out the comma, no price too high, so she bought it. You know, that's a little comma made a difference. But you know what? Sometimes when you're reading the Bible, just little things make a big difference in how you understand and how you interpret the Bible. And the key is that you got to keep studying. You got to keep learning. Don't let yourself be deceived. You know, if the enemy came to us with a pitchfork, or if he came as a serpent, we would probably catch on. But a lot of the time he comes as an angel of light. And you need to understand this. I'm just going to throw myself under the bus here, all right? I firmly believe this, that sometimes it's even preachers, it's well-meaning Bible teachers that are taking people down the wrong path. That's why we need to be studying the Bible, not just going by what Brother So-and-so says. It's funny, I hear people quoting certain preachers like they're scripture. You better stick to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? See, when you face temptation, you need to know what the Bible says. When you're in a difficult time in your life and confusion, a storm, a battle, that's when you got to already know what the Bible says. Sure, you can in desperation grab your Bible and close your eyes and point at a verse, and maybe in God's mercy he'll direct you to the right one. But I'm just telling you, most of the time when you're in a battle, it's too late. You need to already know what the Bible says. You know, when you're trying to make a decision, here's the only thing that really matters is, what does God want you to do? And listen, I know the Holy Spirit can write it on the wall for you. But a lot of the time, if we'll just look right here, we'll get the direction that we need. Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It will show you. It will. You say, oh, well, it doesn't address my situation. You'd be surprised. It is absolutely amazing how this book can speak to your situation if you'll just study it. I'm almost done. Y'all still with me? What does the Bible say? How about speaking in tongues? You know, some people think that tongues have passed away because the Bible says tongues shall cease. Do you know the same passage says, and knowledge shall pass away? I hope knowledge hadn't passed away. Well, here's the passage. It's 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. Love never fails, but where there's prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. What's he talking about? That which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. He's talking about when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be need of prophecy. There's not going to be any need for tongues. There's not going to be need for the acquiring of knowledge. That's all going to vanish away. None of it's going to matter. But it's all one thing together, and it's just amazing. They want to do away with prophecy and tongues. Why? Because it's supernatural. Knowledge is okay. We'll leave that one. But prophecy and tongues, we got to do away with those because those are supernatural. That's right up there with that healing stuff. Listen, when I got saved, something happened. You know, I didn't go to a particular church. I had friends in several different churches. And we started visiting several churches, going to several Bible studies. And some said this, and some said that. And that's, it's, boy, isn't it that way always? Some say this, some say that. You know what I figured out? I had to go by what the Bible said. And I just started reading the Bible. Some of you right now, you're thinking, oh yeah, but I know this verse, and I know this, and I've been taught this, and I've always thought, and you know. No, I'm just telling you, read the Bible. Just read the Bible. Just read the Bible. Not certain verses, just read the Bible. You know, Paul corrects the Corinthians. He says, y'all come together and y'all speaking in tongues. He says, y'all are in error. You don't need to be doing that. Now I'm paraphrasing. Don't come rebuke me because I didn't quote it just right. But listen, then he turns right around and he says, but forbid not to speak in tongues. In fact, he says, I pray in tongues more than you all. I'm just saying, read the Bible. Disciples are supposed to make disciples. You know, a few years ago, there was this thing about discipleship where they got all weird, where you were discipling people, and if you were somebody's disciple, they could tell you what to do in your family and make your decisions. And well, that's just a weird bunch of mess. But you know what? I preach and teach discipleship because it's in the Bible. We need to stick with what the Bible says. You know, without the Scriptures and the help of the Holy Spirit, there's no way that we could really follow God and do the things God wants us to do. We just got to be led of the Spirit. But listen, the Holy Spirit never contradicts the Word of God. So, I'm going to close this up. Listen, what do you believe? What does the Bible say? That's where we need to go. And our beliefs and what we believe about what's right and wrong, and listen, every decision, we need to search the Scriptures and say, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? How to raise children? Oh, they got a good book on that. They sure do. Now, I'm not telling you that you shouldn't read other books, and especially if they're based on the Scripture. Sometimes somebody else can help you understand the Scripture. But I'm just saying, you got to get it from God's Word. See, how to have a good marriage? What's the Bible say? How to deal with teenagers? What's the Bible say? It's in there, I'm telling you. You need those principles. How to minister, how to witness. I'm telling you, there's things in there. How to deal with the devil. There's principles in there. So here, I'm going to give you one last verse, all right, and I'm going to close. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, as it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I just want to put the emphasis on this. It's every word that comes from the mouth of God. So search the scriptures. Find out, what does the Bible say? Amen. Well, stand with me and let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. And I pray, Father, that you help us all to come into a greater knowledge of the truth, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you would just help us, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, that you would give us revelation and understanding. Lord, and I pray that you give us a fresh hunger. Lord, that we would truly value your word, treasure it. Lord, that we would long for it, that we would look forward to it. Lord, that as the psalmist said, that we would behold wondrous things out of your law. Lord, that it would just come alive to us, that you speak to us through it. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we will not be a people that are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But Lord, we'll be steadfast. We'll be strong, Lord, that we will hold to the truth and what your word says, that you be glorified in us as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Lord bless you. I love you. Go find out what the Bible says.